Chapter 17. Emma. I agree. She's totally dating him. If we weren't walking down the hall of a church, I just might push my two closest friends in front of a moving bicycle. I'd told Jason about yesterday's painting debacle while we got coffee before our life group class. After class, he shared it with our friend Trina, although he added plenty of his own embellishments and observations, such as his opinion that Carter and I are dating and just don't know it. I'm never introducing Jason to Amy. We're not dating. I give in to the urge to shoulder bump my best friend. And you shouldn't be making this more difficult. He's helping me make this project better. For free, I might add. Well, yeah, Trina says, flipping her dark curls over her shoulder. Because that's what boyfriends do. Why do I hang out with these people?
Speaking of the project,
Jason says,
are you sure it's going well? I know I said we didn't have the bandwidth for it, but we can do some juggling if we need to.
I do not want to admit that I'm in over my head. There are still over 2 months before the prototype presentation. I can get a handle on everything. Fortunately, this conversation I can bypass. Nope, we agreed. No office talk when we aren't little worker drones.
Why doesn't that rule go the other way as well?
Jason grumbles. Because you never stop being people. Trina links our arms at the elbows as we enter the large main lobby that runs the length of the front of the church. Besides, I want to hear more about this Carter Anderson fellow. What's he look like? Handsome? I am not answering that. Very well, I'm answering it because not answering will only make her poke deeper. But I'm not answering honestly. He's okay. Brown hair, hazel eyes, tall.
So you're practically twins.
Jason quips. You know. I don't know. He's a guy. I wave my arms in front of me like a magician trying to make a person appear out of thin air. I look up as if inspiration is going to float down from the skylights above the wide staircase that leads to the worship center balcony. And I freeze. It would seem I actually am a magician because Carter Anderson is walking down the stairs of my church, talking to a slightly older man who also looks vaguely familiar, but I can't place. Not that it matters because Carter Anderson. I shove past Jason, duck into the nearest alcove and press my back to the wall beside an information poster about mission volunteer opportunities while my heart threatens to turn me into a jackhammer. Jason and Trina come after me, both looking worried and alarmed. Jason has his phone out, ready to call for help. At least I managed to distract them from the Carter conversation, although that reprieve is going to be temporary because apparently the man goes to my church. Has he always gone here? How did I not know? Not that I know everyone who goes to church here. It's a large church. 2 services each Sunday plus live stream to the internet. Nearly 4,000 active members. Obviously, I don't know everyone, but how did I not know him? Trina presses a hand to my forehead. She's clammy. Great. Does that mean I'm sweating? Clammy means it feels wet, right? I don't have time to Google it.
Do you need me to call for a medic? There's usually at least one on the Sunday security team.
Jason moves toward the lobby. I yank him back into the alcove. It's a needless move because Carter isn't going to recognize Jason or vice versa, but my rational thoughts aren't forming quickly right now. Jason slides the phone into his pocket and crosses his arms.
What is going on?
Trina looks between us. You don't think she's sick?
No, she's not sick. She's panicking.
Why? Trina sticks her head out. Is your mom here? That's laughable. While Amy will at least talk to me about Faith, at least she did before she got mad at me, Mom likes to pretend I just sleep in extra hard on Sundays. Still, I shake my head. I don't know if it's to answer her or try to shake some sense into myself. Okay, first things first. I need to get Jason and Trina out of this alcove because it is not big enough for the three of us. It's meant to hold one of those stand-up retractable banners or a table of pamphlets or something, not three grown people. I'm fine. You guys go. Save me a seat.
Yeah, right.
Jason says.
Who's out there?
Lots of people. It's a big church. At least my brain is coming back online.
Mm-hmm. With lots of space for people to walk. So why are we hiding?
I roll my eyes. I don't know why you're hiding.
Good point.
He turns to Trina.
Let's step back out and talk to her from the lobby.
Because no one will be at all curious about why they're talking to a wall. You'll look ridiculous, I mumble.
Only until someone comes up and sees you, then you'll be the one looking ridiculous.
Trina gives Jason a look of admiration. You handle her amazingly well.
Years of practice.
Jason folds his arms.
One more time. Who's out there, or I go start introducing myself to people?
He would, too. Jason may have decided to run his own tech company, but he grew up in North Benson, with his parents hobnobbing around as much as my family does now. If he hadn't left that behind, he probably would have run into me with my family a time or two. He got taught the skills, though, and can work his way through a crowded room in 10 minutes flat. If Carter is still out there, Jason will find him. That's a big if. Surely Carter has had time to get down the stairs and head to wherever he's going. I just thought I saw someone I know. I wave my hand in dismissal as I push myself off the wall. Probably because we were talking about him. I realize my mistake as soon as the words leave my mouth. Trina is once again peeking around the wall. Carter Anderson is here. He goes to this church. The plot thickens. Jason is just grinning. What? I ask warily. He keeps smiling. He's probably gone now.
Great.
Jason throws an arm across my shoulders and guides me back into the lobby.
Let's go to service then.
What is he doing? We never walk like this. It makes people think we're... Oh no, Jason, no.
Oh yes.
He presses a kiss to my temple. I can practically feel my phone burning with all the messages I'm going to get because there's no way no one saw that. Is he still here? Trina asks in a whisper, her gaze darting around the lobby. Yep. My gaze doesn't have to dart because it is completely caught in Carter's. Jason follows my gaze and walks us in Carter's direction.
I'm a guy, and even I know you are lying about his looks.
The daggers Trina is sending my way says she's thinking the same thing. About Carter, not about being a guy. As for Carter, I can't read him well enough to say, but I'm guessing he'd like some time in an alcove to process. I jab my finger into Jason's ribs. He just pulls me in closer. Fine, I'll just make this awkward for everyone and not say anything. Carter has other plans.
Hello, Emma. I should have guessed you attended here after the Bob Ross comment yesterday.
I wish he'd said something then. It would have saved us all the embarrassment because I would have found a sudden desire to volunteer in the nursery.
I normally attend the early service.
He points up the stairs.
I got caught talking to some people this morning.
That would explain why I've never seen him, along with the fact that we walk right by people we don't know every day without ever thinking about them. He turns to the man beside him.
Do you remember Frank? He owns the art gallery where Richie exhibited.
So I have seen the man before, just surrounded by very distracting paintings. Keeping silent now would be unforgivably rude instead of simply awkward. Of course. Good to see you again. We all fall silent, Carter looking pointedly from me to Jason. Jason grinning like he's having the time of his life, and Frank and Trina both looking torn between fleeing the scene and bursting into laughter. I vote they both flee and take me with them. When I can't take it anymore, I say, "This is Jason." Carter's eyes widen.
Your boss? Yes.
Jason extends his hand.
We've known each other far longer than that, though. Went on our first date her sophomore year of college.
The expression on Carter's face is distinctly unhappy. Maybe a little angry, and definitely confused. I don't like it. And we went on our last date 2 weeks later, you jerk. I squat and spin out from under his arm, arching my back to keep his hand from grabbing me as I roll by. I take a step away and glare at his grinning face. Carter looks between us.
So you aren't together?
No. I cross my arms and keep glaring at Jason because that's easier than dying of embarrassment while looking at Carter.
No, we are not.
Jason leans in.
And isn't it interesting that you seem happy about that?
He spins on his heel.
Come on, Trina. Let's find seats.
He set me up. The man strolled me across the lobby with every intention of setting me up. I really am going to push him in front of a bicycle. Frank must have made his escape as well, because when I find the courage to look back at Carter, it's just him and me standing here as the lobby slowly empties. He sticks his hands in the pockets of his dress pants.
So,
I parrot. The man looks just as good as he always does. Slacks, button-up shirt, sport coat. It seems to be his usual look. I am also in my usual Sunday look, which is nothing like what he's ever seen me in. Well, he's seen the jeans because they are the same ones I wore yesterday. But today, they're paired with a boxy green shirt that couldn't decide if it wanted to be a t-shirt, a sweater, a tunic, or a beach towel. I personally love it and think it's perfect for church because it's comfortable and doesn't have a cartoon character on it. But it certainly didn't come from Amy's lookbook. I'm also wearing running shoes, the kind that come from an athletic store.
Is there a real boyfriend waiting in the wings somewhere?
That is not what I expected him to ask. No. What about you? Any girlfriends? Oh my gosh. Why are we asking each other this? He shakes his head.
None. Pretend or otherwise.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is? Why?
Excellent question, Emma. Why do you think it would be good if the cutest guy you've ever seen, who made you put away your phone for hours yesterday, and then helped you have a good enough time that you didn't even think about it, had a girlfriend? I don't know. Seemed the thing to say? He grins and relaxes. I didn't even realize he'd been stiff. That's a talent I'd like to learn.
Your non-boyfriend friend has a good point.
Oh, goodness. Is he going where I think he's going? I swallow. One would think he could get his point across in a better way. He grins.
Are you going to do anything about it?
I was considering pushing him in front of a bicycle. He jerks his head as if my words actually hit him in the face. Through a laugh, he asks,
Why a bicycle?
Because it would be unpleasant, but probably wouldn't do any real damage. He considers it and gives me a nod.
Good point. Maybe we can consider doing it after.
After what?
After we go on a date. A real one this time. No theater or galleries or museums.
My heart does the cha-cha with my stomach. Do you go other places?
I do. So, what do you say? Want to go to one of those other places with me?
I should probably take the time to consider the ramifications of this idea. He still goes to galas. He's still part of the museum board. I still need him to help me with work. His sport coat collection rivals my video game one. Yet, all I can really give consideration to is standing in front of him while we painted yesterday. With that in mind, I smile and say, Yes.